service coming up. So great to have you here. Thank you for coming out and looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us today. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Kind of got caught on the book of Esther when this happened. And so we transitioned into the book of Joshua. I felt it was really good to help us through this time of the COVID crisis and to help us in the times of dealing with trials. And so we began to look at the book of Joshua. And I had two messages left in this series and really looking forward to this one. And so I thought, well, I'm going to finish these two before we go back to the book of Esther. And when we get back to the book of Esther, it's going to be really some practical messages on dealing with anger and bitterness and resentment and so forth. So we have a lot in store for us. You know, I was thinking about, as we get to the book of Joshua, again, the 14th chapter, I was thinking about in the Bible, there's a lot of duos, or not just, I don't want to mention couples because they're not all husband and wife. Some are relatives, some are friends, some are just in similar office. See if you can help me with this. If there's Adam, there's also, okay, so a husband and wife. Then there was Cain and Abel, sad story, but they're brothers. You have then Elijah and Elisha. They were the Lord would use as seers, as the Bible would describe them. Back in the Old Testament, you have Moses, and he could go with a couple, but thinking with his brother Aaron. In the New Testament, you have two preachers of the gospel who are imprisoned together, Paul and Silas. What about the dynamic duo of the Lone Ranger and... Oh, wait a second, that's not the Bible, sorry. But then we also have Joshua and Caleb, right? Now, it's interesting because as you read the book, we have not heard anything about Caleb. And so I want to bring out this idea of Caleb, and we're going to find from this, Caleb, as he is getting older in life, is not looking to resign or not resigned to the fact that life is about over and not doing anything. But we're going to look at this idea. He wanted to be reassigned or re-sign up because he wasn't done yet. So the question I have for you, are you looking to resign or to be reassigned? I think it's a great message to come. Dear Father, we now come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been worshiping you with music, Father, and now we want to worship you by honoring your word and bringing that to the forefront. Father, the most important things that I am about to say, the truths that I am about to mention, are only important because they're based out of your word. And your word is most important of all. And so may this message be founded on your word. May your word be mentioned and read throughout this message. And may we go home realizing this has been beneficial to hear your word, and we can go back and reread this story and be brought back to the same thoughts and the same challenges as have been brought out in this message. So use your word now to speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want us to look, first of all, in Joshua chapter 14, and maybe you're able to pick up the study sheet that may have been near you when you came in. I want to look, first of all, at your faithfulness is required for the Lord to accomplish His will in your life. Now, that's a lot to say, and so let me begin by just explaining the point. Boy, it could be a long message when you just got to explain the point, but I think it'd be really important for us to begin. When we talk about your faithfulness is required, one of the things that we are going to come to the conclusion is the most important thing that you can be for the Lord is faithful. In a world of productivity, looking for high production, the Lord is not looking for productivity out of you as much as He is looking for faithfulness. For instance, the Bible in the New Testament doesn't say it's required in stewards that a man be found fruitful. No, a man will be fruitful as long as he is faithful in maintaining his relationship with the Lord. The Lord brings forth the fruit out of our lives. It's our duty just to remain faithful. So your faithfulness is required for the Lord to accomplish His will in your life. And again, that might catch you off guard. You say, well, I thought it was my life. I thought I can do whatever I want. The reality of it is, God has given to every one of us life. God has breathed into men the breath of life, and life, man has become a living soul. Now, beyond that, God has created every human being that has ever been born. There are scripture verses that describe the fact that God gives the ability for a husband and wife to have a child, and God brings that child into the world. And then beyond that, if you're a Christian, and I trust that you are, dear friend, the most important decision that you can make in life is that you know that you have a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Every one of us are sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins that we can come to Him, trusting wholly in Jesus Christ to get us to heaven, and then we enter into a personal relationship with God by trusting in Jesus Christ. I hope you did that. I pray that everyone in here did that. But if not, dear friend, it is very simple, very easy, but the most important decision you could ever make. And if we can help you make that decision, we would love to do so following the service. But beyond the fact of being created by God, those of us who are Christians, the Bible says you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So now that I'm a Christian, and I became a Christian, I believe at the age of 5, I confirmed that at the age of 16, I got assurance of my salvation. But when I became a Christian, I then became full ownership under God. I am now under His ownership. I am responsible to do whatever. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And so it isn't my life to do whatever I want. I'm now to live for the Lord. So first of all, your faithfulness is required for God to accomplish His will in your life. And I want to use Caleb as the example here from our Old Testament. And look here in Joshua chapter 14, in verse number 6, it's Caleb that's going to come out now and speak for the first time. It's kind of like he's stepping up to the microphone, and he is about to speak. And look at verse number 6. Then the children of Judah, so Caleb is of the tribe of Judah, that would make him in line with Christ, in that family line. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, so Caleb is about to speak. Look what he says in verse number 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Let me just stop reading right there. So Caleb was saying, you remember way back in the book of Numbers, when God asked Moses to send forth 12 spies to spy out the land, one from each tribe. It was from the tribe of Judah that Caleb was one of those, and also Joshua was the one of the 12. They went to spy. He says, you remember that? I was 40 years old then. You know, I kind of, when your children growing up and listening to the story, you had the idea maybe these were younger guys, and that's why they were afraid of the enemies that were there. But realize they weren't young. They weren't 18-year-olds. They weren't 20-year-olds and fearful. They were actually mature men that went over there and still fearful of the people that they saw on the other side of Jordan. So Caleb here is stepping to the microphone and speaking to Joshua, and he says, you know what, I was 40 years old when Moses called us to go over and spy out the land, and I, as he continues on, brought him word again as it was in mine heart. He says, as I spied out the land, I shared him what was on my heart. Now, what was on his heart? Let's go in. Let's conquer the land. This is the land God has given us. Let's go ahead and go across that Jordan, and let's take these people, for this is the land that the Lord has promised us, and this is the area that we are to go. Nevertheless, verse number 8. By the way, I would encourage you, whenever you see the word nevertheless in your Bible, I'd encourage you to mark it. I always use a yellow colored pencil and I highlight that word nevertheless. That's a very pivotal word. In fact, I did two words in this verse, nevertheless, and a little bit later the word but. But nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. He says, while I and Joshua were emboldened to go in, the rest of them, they made our people fearful. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So I found that interesting. So Caleb said, you know what, while they didn't say, let's go in and take it, let's be fearful and let's stay over here, he says, you know what, I'm committed myself, I am going to follow the Lord no matter what. I'm going to remain faithful. You know, it's really easy when the country and our governor says, let's shut down because of a pandemic, and you can't go to church, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. It's really easy to resign to the fact that, no use we try, no use we go forward, and I'm not going to church, why read my Bible, why pray? You know what, we can really get out of sorts quickly, can't we? We can really step back. I thought, wow, what faithfulness in Caleb, who's saying, you know what, even if we're not going to cross over, I'm still going to wholly follow the Lord. He was resigned to the fact, or really reassigning to the fact, that I am going to stay committed to the Lord. And look as he continues on in verse number 10, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, and look at the end of the verse, now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm now 85. So here he is 45 years later. He says, you know what? The Lord kept me alive, and here I am today, still wholly serving the Lord. You know, I got to thinking about that so often in life. As we get toward the latter years, we might say, and for each of you, that's up to you to determine when you hit the latter years. I know for Goodwill, hey, once you're 50, you're considered a senior. Get the discounts at Goodwill. Well, they're not open, so forget about that for now. Anyway, they consider you're a senior once you hit the age of 50. I would take that offensively if they weren't giving me money back, but since they're giving me money back, I'll take it. But you know what? Sometimes as we get older in life, we kind of say, you know what? I've served the Lord. I'm going to just take it easy. I'm not going to do as much around church. I'm not going to get as involved in visitation. I'm not going to do as much here. I'm not going to do as much there. I'm going to enjoy the latter year as if serving the Lord isn't a joy. Now, again, we wouldn't say it that way, but sometimes it's kind of the way, if we really break down how we're thinking and if we're really breaking down a little bit about what we're saying, that's kind of how it is. Where I've served, and it almost comes across this way, I've served the Lord long enough. Now it's time for me to get a break. You know, for the children of Israel, the first time rest is ever mentioned was after all the land's been conquered, the first time through. And there were still some more lands to be acquired, but they had basically achieved all that the Lord initially wanted them to do, and so they had some rest. The problem is, in Christianity and in humanity, we want our rest before it is due to be given to us. Really, for a Christian, as long as the battle is raging, let me ask you, how many of you think Satan has now taken the pandemic off? How many of you think, pandemic, Satan's saying, I'm going to just rest for a while? Well, I think he's been ever more vigilant, hasn't he? He's attacked families, attacked individuals, especially as individuals have been forced into isolation and they've gotten discouraged and depressed and so forth, and Satan's war really rages on. So if Satan isn't taking a break, why are we? Why are we stepping back? And here's Caleb, and he said, man, I'm 85 years old, but I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. Again, it is required in stewards, children and servants, men of God who are serving the Lord, children of God, it's required in us that we just remain faithful. Let's look at a second idea here. Not only are we to be faithful, but I think we are to be fearless. Your fearlessness is required for the Lord to accomplish His will in your life. Look, if you would, just for a moment, in the 13th chapter, the first verse. Now, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, "Thou art old and stricken in years." I say, "Thanks, Lord. I already knew that." Here's Joshua. He's getting rather old, and it isn't like the Lord overlooked that. The Lord knew he was getting old, but look what the Lord goes on to say. "And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." What is the Lord saying? In a sense, this is what the Lord's saying. I know you're old, but there's a lot of work to be done yet. And dear friends, as we get older, as we begin to age, I was going to say, and as we continue to get older, we are getting older, but there are still ministries that need to be accomplished. There are still people that need to be reached for Christ. There are still children that need to be taught the Word of God. There still is a ministry that needs to be fulfilled. There has to be a little bit of fearlessness in us. Let's look at it in the life of Caleb. Let's look again at verse number 10 to kind of reset the stage here. Again, Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 10. "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." Look at the last part of that verse. "And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. As yet," look at what he goes on to say in verse number 11, "as yet I am as strong as I was in the day that Moses sent me." What was he saying? I'm as strong now at 85 as I was at 40. He sounds like a couple of our guys. Old, frail, and not realizing it yet. Say, you know what? I'm not done. I'm not done the battle. I'm not finished fighting. I want to stay engaged. I want to keep going. What is he saying here? I've got it. I've got the energy. I'm as strong as I was 45 years ago, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. I'm even willing to go to war. Think about that. Joshua and Caleb now in their 80s and pondering the idea, we've got battles yet to fight. They aren't looking to resign. They're looking to be reassigned. They're saying, this isn't a time to give up. This isn't a time to quit. This isn't a time to determine, I've served the Lord long enough. It's now time to travel America. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with traveling America. There's nothing wrong with taking extended vacations. But what do we do while we're doing that? Is it all about us, or do we take them with tracts in hand? Take them intending to still attend services, still worship the Lord, still do our best to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? Again, here's Caleb. And he's recognized, I know I'm old, but I can still go into battle. And from here is where he utters those fairly familiar words. Look at the beginning of verse number 12. "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Now, let's stop and think about this. I bet this is a mountain overseeing the Mediterranean. I bet he's looking to go and retire, right? Let's go up on this mountain. He probably has a mountain in mind. It's going to overlook the Mediterranean Sea and just for the rest of his life, just kind of resign to retire there in the Mediterranean overlook. Is that what it is? Or is this mountain maybe something that it's lush and plush for growing good crops and having herds, and there were very good mountains in Israel for the animals that would roam upon the tops of these mountains. Maybe it's one of those mountains, and he can just have an extended family time up there and have animals up there and just have his own farmette up there. Is that what he's looking for? Does anybody know what was on that mountain? It was the sons of Anak. Now, Without turning there, listen to this verse from Numbers 13. It's verse 33 if you want to jot down a reference. Numbers 13, 33 says, "And there we saw the giants." Now this is the other 10. "The sons of Anak, which come of the giants." So the sons of Anak are descendants of the giants. So the whole family was full of giants. "And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." He says, when we got up there and saw the sons of Anak, ha! We thought, man, we're little. And they probably looked at us and said, man, they're little. We're no match for them. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 28, "Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we." They're bigger than we are. "The cities are great and walled up to heaven." Boy, wasn't that an exaggeration. "And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there." So, the Anakims. It might be the first time you've ever heard of the sons of Anak or the Anakims, but they definitely knew who they were. These were the giants of the land. This was the number one reason that 10 of the spies said, let's not go. In fact, 10 of the spies that were fearful made everyone else fearful, made their hearts to melt, as Caleb described it earlier. Caleb says, you know what? I'm ready to go, and give me this mountain. It wasn't a mountain for retirement. It wasn't a mountain to have a farm at. It was the mountain with their worst and their biggest enemy. Caleb's saying, I'm ready to go to war. Now, I stopped and think about it. I wonder what Caleb was like. You know, maybe Caleb was shorter in stature. Maybe he was wider in stature. I don't know. Was he physically fit? Was he strong? Was he a big guy? Was he bearded? Was he clean-shaven? I don't know what he was like, but I do know this. And I really came to this understanding in studying out this message. People quit not as much because of their age or their strength, but because they lose heart. And while Caleb was older, and I'm sure actually weaker, he still had heart. You know, we kind of mock the athletes of today. Anybody ever heard of Mike Tyson? You hear he's now making a comeback in the boxing world at the age of 53. Don't mock it. I'm older than he is. At the age of 53, he's coming back to re-enter the boxing world, and I'm sure it's a little bit because of his gambling and corrupt past. He's lost all the money he has and needs more money. But you know what? There's something else about Mike Tyson. He has a heart for boxing. He's always loved to fight. We can sometimes make fun of the athletes that retire and a year later come back and rejoin the sport. Gronk, for instance, coming back this year to the Buccaneers. We can mock them for, they said they were retired. Look at them. They're already back. But you know what? When you live and breathe and just love that sport for all those years, I don't think it's all the money. I think for some of them, they just have a heart to play that sport. And for Caleb, it was this. He had a heart to wholly serve God. And you know what? At one point, they had the mountain called Hebron. It was theirs. And the Anakims came and chased them away. And I think for 45 years, Caleb's been thinking about this mountain all the way back from the first time he spied out the land. And that just upsets him that whenever he looks up at that mountain to realize they don't have it anymore, the Anakims have gotten it back. I want that mountain. It wasn't because of how it looked. It was because it was to be God's country and it wasn't. And he was willing to fight for it at the age of 85. In fact, if you turn to the 15th chapter and you notice in the 14th verse, he did and he did. He went there and he fought and he won. I want that mountain. Let me ask you, in the closing of this message, what do you want? As you go through life, it goes through phases. And at times, we want it for us. We want it to enjoy. We want it to live our, we want to have our freedom. We want to do our thing. We want our time. And maybe it is as you're older. I don't want this message just to be to the seniors that are here. If that was all that's to, then that's all I should have invited. You know, we're going to face this battle throughout life. We're going to think, wow, these are my years. These are youthful years. I want to live while I've got the opportunity, while I've got the energy. I want to live this the way I want to live it. Let me ask you, who are you? Who owns you? Are you a product of yourself, or did God give you life? Beyond that, are you a child of God yet claiming you can live it the way you want to live it? Let me ask you, are you saying God no longer wants to use me, or I no longer want to be used? I think it's time to make the decision. Are we ready to resign, or are we ready to be reassigned? Caleb leaves quite an example for us. While I have no idea his size, his stature, I do know his heart when he says, I want that now. He's not willing to go down without a fight. He's not willing to, in our generation, allow people to die and spend eternity in hell. He's not willing to let the children go untaught in the Sunday school classrooms. He's not willing to allow the grandchildren to just go off into the world. He's going to fight. If he were living in this day, in this generation, he would just keep fighting. Are you? Are you just ready to resign and live life for your own pleasure? Are you ready to be reassigned and saying, Lord, there's more you want done. And I've been bought with a price. So may I glorify you with my life. That's my challenge for you today. Let's pray. Outnumbered? Yeah. Undersized? Definitely. But unwilling to be denied. There was a heart in Caleb that would say, we must go on. Who would say, pastors, you preach, God has this message and me here for it. God specifically spoke to my heart. I am not willing to give up. I do not believe that God has done with me. So I should not be done serving him. Will you pray that God would continue to lead me and I would continue to remain faithful? Just with an upraised hand. God bless you. God bless you. Numbers of hands up. Thank you. Thank you so much. You may put them down. Again, dear friend, it's all about this, saying, all right, am I going to resign or be reassigned? What do you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where would you have me to serve? How do you want me to minister? Dear friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are you a Christian? Is there anyone here that would say, Keith, as you preach, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. There's never been a day or time I remember of totally trusting in God to save me so I can get to heaven. Will you pray for me? I'm just not 100% sure that I'm a Christian. Will you pray for me? Just raise your hand. I will not embarrass you at all, but I will pray for you. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need your help. The battle's not over, so why should we stop fighting? There's a battle to be fought. There's a victory to be won. Afterward will come the rest. Father, work in our heart. It's heart that means everything. Give us the heart to keep serving you to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me say really quickly, I do understand as you get older, you do get weaker. Things are become more difficult and maybe even painful to do. So I'm not saying that I want necessarily you to go try some mammoth task tomorrow and end up in the hospital for it. But do ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Again, I appreciate your carefulness in coming today. I appreciate social distancing. This is what we're requesting because of the guidelines that have been given to us. We're requesting if you have a mask, at least put it on to get outside. We're asking that you leave the building before taking time to fellowship. And again, this is the warnings that we've been giving from been given from every different direction. The human side of me despises masks. And I even go into stores, and if they want to kick me out, kick me out. I just am not a mask guy. That's my pride, and I need to fall. I know that. Aaron, our grandchildren don't have much hope if they follow you and I. But anyway, please, for the sake of it, I'm going to grab my mask on the way out and put it over my face till I get out. Let's go outside, get to the parking lot and outside and enjoy some fellowship. Thank you for coming today. And again, I appreciate everyone. Let's pray for one another, and let's see the Lord continue to work in our lives. God bless you. You are dismissed.